this year and you don't want a lump of coal in your stocking, quit your freaking crying about the Cowboy game yesterday.
But Santa Claus, can you give me a different quarterback? I'm so sick of Tony Romo throwing interceptions.
Don't worry, little boy. I've convinced Jerry to sell the team this year.
Santa Claus, I hate Jerry Jones. I'm sick of him. Can you get him shipped off to another country?
He's going to get a big lump of coal in his stocking this year.
That doesn't smell like coal, Santa.
The Philadelphia Eagles are going to the Super Bowl.
Santa Claus. I'd like to throw a lump of coal at Tony Romo. And if he threw a lump of coal at me, somebody'd probably pick it off.
All right. It's 11:08. Seriously. I feel bad. Phil's a Packers fan. A Steelers fan, excuse me. Phil's a Steelers fan, but he can't, so he can't get over his hatred of the Cowboys to feel bad for you folks.
Well, and I also, you and I might look at things a little differently sometimes. I don't root for fans. I don't necessarily root against fans.
That's me. I'm not rooting for them. I feel bad for them.
I don't have a feeling for one way or the other. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna enjoy their misery, but at the same time.
Okay, well, that makes you better than most people around here. Because there are two kinds of people that work at this station. Those who are Cowboy fans and those who hate the Cowboys. I'm not one of those. Either one.
I like it when RJ gets riled up, when the Cowboys don't play well.
There's three types of people.
It's a good point. You know what? Good point. Okay. Okay, there are actually four. Here are the four people that work at the Buzz. There are Cowboy fans, i.e. Roger Scott, and David Basil when they're good, and RJ Hawk. There are people who hate the Cowboys, i.e. Tommy Smith, and everybody who's a Steelers fan like Jeff Allen who works down the hall.
Joe.
There are people like me who neither root for the Cowboys nor root against them. And then there are people like Matt who have no idea who the Cowboys are.
Cowboys?
Exactly.
He just knows the Cowboys ride him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. His favorite Cowboys live in Stillwater, Oklahoma. He doesn't care about the Cowboys in Dallas. So, okay. Quick. And if you want in on anything, 433-1037 or 1-800-477-1037. We're probably going to screw around here more than usual because there ain't a lot of Razorback stuff to talk about. There's a reason I'm taking next week off. A, we're not in ratings. B, it's the slowest time. It's the most slowest time of the year.
Well, hey, I've got a candidate for the Texas coaching job here. Take a look. Your boy. Jose Canseco says he would like to be the next head football coach at Texas, and something tells me he actually believes that.
Doesn't he have goats that wear diapers in his house?
Yes, who doesn't?
Can you smell what the zone is cooking? It's time for the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report.
All right, Razorbacks are off this weekend. Back on the court this week, though. Coming off a win over Savannah State.
Who?
Exactly. Arkansas, I had to double check that. Arkansas will be playing next Tennessee Martin this Thursday night.
Who?
Exactly. You know who Tennessee Martin is. In Fayetteville. Then they play South Alabama on Saturday at North Little Rock at Verizon Arena. Where 2 days before, of course, we will have the celebrity karaoke event. What a week for Verizon. They've got Buzz Celebrity Karaoke on Thursday. And on Saturday, they've got Razorback basketball. I will be at both events, only one of which I'll be singing at. And I'm also going to karaoke. So there's that.
I see what you did there.
I'm going to sing the Hogs fight song a few times on Saturday for sure. Luckily, the song we've chosen this year for the celebrity karaoke, which will remain a mystery until Thursday night, rather.
I'll tell you what it is.
Not unless you want to get punched. There's really, you could almost talk it. You could almost speak our song, which is a good one for us because neither of us are great singers. Matty T will be performing and a mystery guest, part of our extravaganza as well.
Really, so who is it?
Razorbacks, of course, again, preparing for the coming week. Football-wise, we've already talked about it. Coach Partridge is headed to Florida Atlantic University, formerly of the Sun Belt, currently playing, I guess, in Conference USA. Is that what they're joining?
Yeah, the Owls.
Yes, the Owls. And they have a dance team that is incomparable.
Spectacular.
Okay. Another
Who?
Word for it.
Who?
Yes. I see what you did there.
Let me shed a tear that now, we don't get to go to Florida this
What's
year.
Amazing is that Matt turned his head all the way around when he said that. That was incredible. All right, so that's all we got. Closer to Florida Atlantic than to Arkansas would be, of course, a former Sun Belt member. That would be UALR. The men on the road had a weird Friday night. I had a valet back a car into my car. I had I was following the game, the UALR game, and they were playing Memphis down to the wire. And then I got a call about Coach Conk going to
it'd be Stephen F. Austin.
SFA, thank you. That's so hard for me to believe. I can't even say it. Anyways, Friday night was strange, but hey, how about the Trojans? Good performance against the number 15 team in the country, but unfortunately Memphis goes on a 17-2 run to come from behind, and they win at 73-59 at the Forum. But a good, solid performance. Josh Higgins, the sophomore guard, 17 points on 6 of 11 shooting from the field and 3 of 6 from beyond three-point range. Yesterday at the Jack, the UALR women hosting number 11, right? LSU?
Number 13.
Let's go with number 11 LSU.
Okay.
Even though it's not true. Number 13 LSU. Okay. Taylor Galt, 12 points. Taylor Ford, 13 points. And again, a lead at the half falls apart, and they come up short. But a much better performance than the last time they faced a top 20 team.
Yeah, I mean, they got crushed by Texas. So that actually wasn't – Texas just beat them up and down the floor, and it was a forgettable game. UALR looked like a completely different team yesterday against LSU. LSU's good and athletic. I mean, they're big. They're deep. But the Trojans set the tone and set the pace of the game in the first half, but it's unfortunate foul trouble got them, and they ended up getting outscored to the foul line. The free throws was the big difference. 26-7 was the difference in free throws for LSU. And the second half was incredible. At one point, LSU had scored 17 points on free throws, and the Trojans had none en route to an 18-3 difference in free throws in the second half. That was the difference, unfortunately.
We had Coach Foley on Friday on the show from Dugan's Pub, and he was talking about the big front court. They got a pretty giant team, right, LSU?
They did. I mean,
so it's not surprising.
They have one of the players that's on the Wooden Award watch list, Teresa Plaisance. She's 6'5".
What's her name?
Teresa Plaisance. Plaisance. She comes out.
No thanks.
She can play just inside the arc, and she can post up, and great rebounder. And in UALR right now, that's where they're young. You know, it was good to see Hannah Foney that was able to play almost the entire game yesterday. She's going to be their best defender in the post, and they'll certainly need Hannah to. She played 32 minutes and played very well. They'll need her to be able to be on the court as often as possible, I think, to win a division championship this year in the Sun Belt. But they've improved, and Coach Foley, I mean. You know, I think he would definitely say they've improved markedly since that loss to Texas, noticeably.
Over the weekend in New York, congratulations, no surprise, to the Heisman Trophy Award winner for 2013.
Every football player in the world dreams about winning the Heisman Trophy. And tonight, one of our finalists will have that dream become a reality. At this point, it's my pleasure to announce the 2013 Heisman Memorial Trophy winner. And the winner is Jameis Winston, Florida State University.
All right, to the surprise again of no one, Jameis Winston, the winner over the weekend. What did surprise me a little bit was that Jordan Lynch finished third in the voting behind Winston and Alabama quarterback A.J. McCarron. Lynch got 40 first-place votes and finished with 558. McCarron, 79 first-place votes, and Winston with 668 first-place votes. So, as expected, a landslide victory for him. Running back Andre Williams, fourth, Manziel, fifth, and Trey Mason finished sixth. Congratulations to all the guys who got invited. I was very surprised, though, that Lynch finished as high as he did.
You had a running back gain over 2,000 yards, and he finished fourth.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing. I guess the running back has been devalued.
I guess the bigger thing is that Jordan finished with 1,800 yards or whatever rushing, and he was a quarterback. So He did have a great year. I don't think he's going to be much of an option as an NFL quarterback, but we'll see.
So
who knows?
Two years in a row, a freshman quarterback wins the Heisman. You'd never had a freshman win the award previously.
That's a good point. Never thought about that.
And I mean,
will a true freshman ever win it? I wonder. Now that's the only thing that's left.
Yeah, that's your next thing. You know, some high school senior's going to win it.
Sure, why not? Came out early, won the Heisman, went straight to the pros. Other big news from over the weekend in college football: it's not only UCA and ASU looking for head coaches; it is now the University of Texas. I would differ somewhat with those in this building. Again, not only on how we feel about the Cowboys, but where I put Texas in the big scheme of things. In college football. A few years ago, people were calling into question, how good is the Alabama job? You get a couple of slappy coaches in there that job doesn't look nearly as attractive. I remember sitting here and debating with people and saying, Nick Saban combined with Alabama will lead to a national championship in the next 3 to 5 years. I was scoffed at, not by most of the guys that work here, but some guys that contribute occasionally. So what does he do? He wins a few championships just to make sure his point is made. I think Texas is a similar deal, and I don't think that Mac Brown's a bad coach. Mac Brown certainly is not going to be confused with Mike Price or Shula or any of the other slappies who rolled through their Francione and really took a program that was once proud and sort of took it down several notches. But they definitely needed some new blood. I do applaud Mac Brown for making the move that he made. I think Texas can be a top 3, 4, 5 program again in the not-too-distant future with the right guy. Who that guy is going to be, I don't know.
There was still a divided fan base, and that's not fair for Texas. That's not fair for our players. That's not fair for our coaches because they continued to be under undue pressure. So it was time for me to move on and let someone else come in and restart the program.
Texas, to me, is still the best job in Texas. It's one of the top 5 jobs in America. It's maybe one of the top 3 jobs in America. I don't know that you put – can you name 2 other jobs you put ahead of it? Alabama, certainly, with Saban there right now, is – but I think if you take Saban out of the mix, I don't know that Alabama's a whole lot better job other than the fact that you play in a better conference. However, it's harder to get there every year, too.
Well, when you put all the other factors together and you look at available recruits in a recruiting hotbed, the brand that goes with it, the money that they not necessarily the money that you're going to get paid, but that's certainly part of it, mm-hmm. and the operating budget, the expectations, I think, also for some coaches would be one of the things that draws them to a job like that. It certainly seems to, be one of the things that took Saban to Alabama to live up to those sort of to those legends, to try to, reach the levels that Coach Royal did, reach the levels that Coach Bryant did. I think of the jobs that have been open the last few years, this has got to be the top job.
Yeah.
It has to be.
I agree. Where do you put it all in the big scheme of things? What are the best jobs in America?
As far as college football, Alabama, Texas are there. I still would put would you still put Notre Dame on that list?
Probably so.
And
we were talking about national brands of the Cowboys earlier. Right. Notre Dame certainly is that. It's an international brand.
Yes. I think Notre Dame belongs there.
Look, here's all I need to tell you about Notre Dame. Here's what I know about Notre Dame. They didn't play in the BCS this year, and they're getting a $1.8 million BCS check this year. Somebody up there has a lot of stroke. In fact, a lot of somebody's probably have a lot of stroke. So, yeah, Notre Dame's a good one to be connected to. USC, you mentioned. Florida, I still think, is a top 10 job.
I know I'm talking to a fan base that might not agree with me, but I still look at Big Ten football as big-time college football, and I would look at Ohio State and maybe even Penn State on that list. Michigan, perhaps. I'm not sure, but,
I think Michigan's a better job than Penn State is.
I still view Penn State in a different light growing up in Pennsylvania. It hasn't been the program that it was in the 90s, but I would agree with you. I think Michigan probably a little bit a step ahead in that regard.
Florida State. Is Florida State a top 5 job? It's a top 10 job. Is it a top 5 job?
I don't know. I've already mentioned 5. I wouldn't put Florida State in that top 5.
I don't know that they wouldn't at least be in the conversation if they win a national title this year. Here's something to tell you about this, and I got in this debate with RJ this morning. He was dismissive of Jimbo Fisher as a potential candidate at Texas. Here's all Jimbo Fisher's done. He's obviously had a long run as a successful coordinator. He has been undefeated in 3 attempts in bowl games, including last year's Orange Bowl. Now, admittedly, they played a Northern Illinois team that was clearly outclassed, but they did win the Orange Bowl last year. That's a BCS game last I checked. This year, they're in the national championship game. If they win it this year under Jimbo Fisher's direction, does that become a top 5 program? More to the point, does Jimbo Fisher become a leading candidate? If you can't get Nick Saban, which you clearly can't, does he become the guy that you chase down with the most gusto? I don't know. Other guys on the list, according to SI.com, Jimbo Fisher's mentioned. Art Briles is mentioned. And again, I don't really consider the majority of these guys gettable. Art Briles just signed an extension, which we all know those contracts in college football are not worth the paper they're written on, especially when you're at Texas and you can afford any sort of buyout. $1.7 million they just paid for Brian Harsin to get out of his contract at ASU. That is a drop in the bucket at Texas and Notre Dame and some of the other schools you mentioned. Jim Harbaugh, I don't see the point of that. I don't see the reasoning behind it. I can't imagine he would leave a highly competitive NFL team, but it wouldn't be the strangest thing I've ever seen. It would only be number 2. Bill O'Brien, you mentioned Penn State. I don't know that anybody in the last couple years, with all the things you've had to deal with, has done a better job coaching than Bill O'Brien. The fact that they were where they were his first year there with all of the negativity, and he was like on a 14th-string kicker, they would have won a couple more games easily had they had a reasonably performing kicker in that particular year. He signed through 2016. if he's bought out, he'll owe Penn State $13 million. So I don't see him as a viable option. James Franklin, to me, on this list, is the best guy available. James Franklin is a guy that you can afford. He's a guy that has done an unbelievable job. He has incredible charisma. He has done it at a lesser-than place in a tougher-than conference. I think he's an obvious, if you can get him, he would be an obvious front-runner for me.
Wasn't there some point where Texas had a head coach in waiting? That was Muschamp, right?
Yeah. It really.
How long ago was that?
He bailed them out.
Yeah.
He bailed them out.
How long ago was that he was the head coach in waiting?
I don't know, a few years ago. How long has he been at Florida? This is his third year.
3 years?
Jim Mora is another one. I think that he's only completed 2 years out there, though, I think. Jim Mora at UCLA agreed to a six-year contract extension earlier this month, which isn't necessarily so important. The important part is how much is the buyout, and I don't have that information. And then Dabo Swinney's mentioned. I don't think so. There's no way they're hiring Dabo Swinney at Texas, I can't imagine.
Well, I told you, Jose Canseco wants to be the head coach at Texas, and he actually went to Twitter to tell the new athletic director his plan. He said, here's my plan to fix Texas football. First, the lines are weak. It's our foundation, must be stronger. I know what to do. And then he started a new hashtag. This is great, Canseco Horns.
Well, I would say this. He's right.
Next was, second, what conference are we even in now? Just join the SEC already. Canseco Horns. Third, why do we have all these 5'9" QBs with weak arms? Go get another Vince Young. I guess that's easier said than done.
No question.
And here he says, fourth spelled without the U, hire the Baylor recruiting coach. He is killing us. So it sounds like Canseco is also a UT fan.
Muschamp did just complete his third year there, actually, back at Florida, going back to that for a moment. So, yeah, he's not the guy for sure. I'm going to guess that they're not going to go beat down Florida's door to try to get Muschamp back to Texas now.
Nah.
I'm also going to guess that they're not going to get Jose Canseco.
It's too bad.
There will be somebody that's fairly obvious that's sitting out there. And the thing is about for Texas, and we're talking about how ASU is going to be able to get somebody good because of the fact that they're paying more money than most Sunbelt schools. Well, than all Sunbelt schools. UCA, because of the tradition and the success they've had and the talent they have come back, that should be a viable job. Plus, you get to live in Conway, which is a good town. If you're Texas, you can basically get just about anybody that you're willing to pay for. Just about, right? I mean, because who's going to say no? I mean, you're at a conference you can win every year. You're going to have a good chance to win every year. You don't even have to play a championship game, which usually is a positive. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes you need that extra little boost. But if you go undefeated in the Big 12, more than likely you're in the title game.
Well, were they just told no by Nick Saban? I mean, you've heard of this over this last year. You know, rumors have started up since back in February and March. Did they really make a play for him? Did they try to make that play?
I don't know. I just know he ain't going.
No, he's not.
So,
but have they
already
been told no once? You know,
who else? What about Les? Is Les an attractive option?
I heard them talking about that on the morning show, and it made sense to me. You know, get out of the shadow of Alabama for right now. End up in a different conference where maybe you can dominate for a little bit.
You're recruiting the same places. You don't have to deal with Alabama. You know the Big 12. I mean, to me, there's a ton of upside. I don't know that you could find two or three guys that are more qualified or would be a better hire.
And for Texas, and I don't know if this is important to them, but it's a sizzle hire. You know, that comes with sizzle.
Yeah, it comes with rings.
It comes with rings, and it also, you know, it comes with personality. It comes with a little craziness every once in a while.
My question is, if he doesn't take this job, when they fire Brady Hoke, if they do in the next couple of years, does Michigan just open up the bank and just say, whatever you need?
I mean, how many times have we been in that conversation, though?
The last two hires.
Exactly right.
And
I guess the third time's the charm.
Maybe so. We get Don in here. Hey, Don.